listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And good morning to you all. As usual, this time on Friday, you are on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, where I interview fascinating authors. We talk about all sorts of issues, problems. I'm answering emails. I'm answering live calls. And today, a special treat, I've got a couple of awesome authors who wrote a book that's really helpful for guys, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But first off, I want to tell you that you always are welcome to the couch here on the show on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to live talk radio station. And we're in the beautiful downtown Los Angeles here, the entertainment capital of the world. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me at my website, Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's therapy. That's .com, of course, drmichelletherapy.com. And, of course, for the radio station here, I have my email address where all you listeners can ask questions and respond to interviews and whatever you'd like to do. Come on down. It's docmichelle at AOL.com, docmichelle at AOL.com. And today, I have a couple of special authors. I received their book about a week ago and started reading it and couldn't stop reading it because it's fascinating to me, not because I'm a psychologist only, but because it's a great read for women and guys to understand what's going on. It's called The Guys Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. And welcome, Sam, Dr. Sam Buser, Ph.D., and Glenn Stearns, both psychologists. And how are you doing today, guys?
We're doing fine, Dr. Michelle.
Great. It's nice to have you both on. This is really a treat. I usually get one author at a time. Somebody else is usually, you know, doing something or on a book tour or something, and I'm sure you guys have been busy as well. But this is so cool to have both of you on the air at once. So, you know,
thank you.
I think it's really neat. So we're going to be talking about your latest book, and you know, what I find really interesting is that there are a lot of books written for women when it comes to ending relationships and getting through relationships and divorce, but this is one of the first kind of guy books, and it's also great, I think, actually, for women, because they can understand men and how they're feeling a little bit better and how they're thinking, don't you think, guys?
We knew that women have a bigger niche as far as divorce and reading of these books.
Yeah.
We wanted to pitch it to men, but I quickly got a view that women were interested. I was boarding the plane and had a copy there, and the flight attendant said, "Oh, what's that?" And I explained about the book, and she says, "Oh, I've got to get that for my boyfriend." And so we quickly got an idea that some of the women would be just as interested as the men.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a really great idea. And I think, you know, it's coming from a guy's perspective. And listeners, by the way, Sam, or would you like me to call you doctors, Dr. Buser?
Just call me Sam, that's fine.
Okay, Sam and Glenn.
Glenn's fine.
Okay, good. They're both practicing psychologists for many years, and Sam is past president of the Texas Psychological Association. He's a member of APA's Society for the Psychological Study of Men and masculinity, see? So he's been working on this for a long time. And Glenn, of course, is also a psychologist, an expert in the field of interpersonal relationships, men's issues, and human sexuality. He teaches graduate courses on the subjects and maintains a clinical practice in the Houston area. So these guys are, you know, you guys have been putting this together and researching this for a long time, right?
We started out in hoping to publish this book, maybe not in 28 days, but at least that was the title of the seminar that we attended.
Wow.
Maybe it was a little bit more like 28 months, but we put together maybe a more finished product.
Oh, yeah. That's great. You know what? I like it because it kind of walks the reader, the guys primarily, but also whoever wants to read it, the walks the reader through the steps of kind of getting over divorce, what's happening in the relationship and what to expect and how to feel sometimes and how to work through issues. And why do you think it is that so many men are surprised when their women leave? I mean, I hear this a lot from guys in my clinical office. I don't know. How about you?
Absolutely. Men are generally surprised, I think, for two or three important reasons. One is, frankly, men have more to lose than women do.
Hmm.
Because most of their social relationships are built around the woman in their lives. So if they end the marriage, they generally lose all the connections, including where do they go for Thanksgiving? What about the kids? They're not as attached usually to the other relationships. So that's a big part of it.
Right.
I think the second thing, frankly, is that there's a certain amount of arrogance. How could she leave me? I mean, we're talking about me here, okay?
Oh, come
How
on
could
now.
You leave me?
No,
okay?
Guys aren't like that, are they? Guys aren't like that.
And then the third reason that I think, and this is one that I would stress, is that men want to be in relationships just as much as women do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times women don't really understand that. They think the guy is not that relationship-oriented. Men are relationship-oriented, mm-hmm. but they relate to it perhaps in a different way. So even when a guy, for example, had an affair, he typically wants to have the marriage and the affair, too.
Aha, uh-huh. I see. That's really interesting. But of course, most women won't put up with that. But so you know, a lot of guys are surprised. I really agree. So when they're moving along, what are some of the things that men can do to get their wives back? I know what I hear a lot is, "Oh boy, I screwed up," or "Oh boy, I shouldn't have been paying attention. I should have been paying attention to some of the cues," or I want her back. She's talking about leaving. You know, what can I do to try to talk her back into staying into the relationship?
I think what you can do is give her the headline that in communication you directly want to work it out. Just
yes.
Say it that clear and that straight.
Yep.
Now, then you need to do some other things, too, is not isolate yourself. Sam mentioned that a man will lose more than a woman. So the risk here is of being isolated during this process. So you've got to start talking maybe a little bit more with friends and family. The problem here, though, is that they can get involved in giving you advice and kind of sideline calling stuff. But the important part is just to tell them, I just want your support. Don't give me any advice. If you want some advice, then that's the time to consider going to a counselor, a minister, or a rabbi. What you want is a neutral second opinion. And just kind of talk and blurt out everything. Let them sort it out for you.
Right. No, that's a really good point, Glenn, because I do think that a lot of the families sometimes, they're trying to, you know, help, but I think because they're kind of skewed or they've always had their perspectives of the situation, they can kind of harm or influence a lot of the situation. And, you know, you need to work it out yourself, so...
Now, what I mentioned, the counselor or psychologist, that's for you.
Yeah.
At the same time, you may need to see a marriage counselor, particularly if the wife feels that that would be helpful, so that you're doing something together. And keep regular contacts with your kids, if you have them, through visitation, through phone calls, etc.
Oh, sure. That's so important. So straight away, straight ahead communication. I want to work it out. This is, you know, we've got to talk. Women love that, of course. Women want a direct, let's talk, let's touchy-feely, you know. what are some of the things that men should not do if they want to try to get their wives back? What are some of the things that are a turnoff or going to push the wife away more?
A lot of these come under the heading of sort of juvenile behavior.
Mm-hmm.
People do things like, well, I'll start another relationship to make her jealous, I'm going to, shower her with expensive presents so that she'll know that I love her, which usually doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that a lot of times you'll hear is sort of bugging the person extensively, like showing up at her office, going by her house, checking out to see if there's another car in the driveway, things like that. I've had people that do play like I Spy, looking after their separated wife, and that always makes things worse.
Sure it would. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are, as always at this time on Friday, on the couch with Dr. Michelle, that's me, and I'm interviewing the authors of the book, The Guys Only, Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. But ladies, you can read it too. As a matter of fact, I think it would be most insightful if you're having issues with your man and you can understand how guys think and kind of work with them a little better on this stuff, see? And my authors today are Dr. Sam Buser and Dr. Glenn Stearns, both practicing psychologists and have been in education and involved in helping men in many ways in issues. They are experts. So we're moving on here. So we've learned what we shouldn't do to try to get the women back once they've announced that they are thinking about leaving or ready to go. But now, something that I always hear as well is does the fact that she wants to separate and get space, does that mean that she's going to divorce me? Does that mean it's inevitable? And does this always happen? Or what do you think, guys?
This is a chance to structure things so you can put out what you want and then see what she wants. This could be a time for you to kind of calm down on the stress in the house, and look at things in a different way. Look at it as a learning experience. Get clear cut what is what she's unhappy about. Get clear cut in your mind, maybe by writing it out and then talking with her about what you're unhappy about. Open up the communication. Sometimes they talk about a definite time. It's not a time to just have a 1 week or even a couple of days and then get back together again, maybe because of guilt. But in other words, that you haven't really solved anything.
That's fascinating. I think what you talk about in terms of helping men communicate as well, Sam and Glenn, is great. And I mean, men and women, we do communicate, we do think differently. There's no judgment. You know, guys will approach things, you know, completely differently. Women want to talk more. They want to feel more. They want to discuss things more. And this many times I see is the problem with relationships is women sometimes feel that their guys are, they're not there to communicate with them as much. So this would be the time, right, to really talk to somebody and get that communication skill thing going, right?
Yes. Well, one of the generalizations, if we could talk about differences between men and women, is women are generally more likely to become depressed during periods of stress, whereas men are more likely to deal with it outwardly. So one of the things that you don't want to do when all of this extra tension is going on is to increase alcohol, tobacco, or other substance use.
Well, that can make you more depressed. I mean, that's the
certainly.
Deal. You know, that's the short term is, gee, I'm feeling good and numb, but the long term is, oh my God, my chemicals, I'm so depressed.
Now another one that's legal is to become a workaholic. That's just as bad.
Yes.
You know, men throw themselves into work, and that way they can lose the pain. During this part, I think we deal a lot with pain of telling fellas that it's okay to feel that pain, and you're going to have to endure it. This is something different maybe than you've experienced before.
Right. Because, you know, focusing on work or putting energy into, you know, your sports or your guy time or your, you know, that's kind of that you got to work through these feelings and kind of try to figure it out. And because they're going to bite you later on down the line.
Michelle, if I could add a couple of other points about separation.
Sure, Sam.
I think that when you look at a separation, it's not inevitable that it ends divorce. Most separations don't end in divorce. Mm-hmm. So you should get out of that idea to start with that means that we're going to divorce. And secondly, that if you're going to separate it, make it a real separation. Most guys that I talk to say something, well, I'm going to move in the spare bedroom. That's a bad idea.
Yeah.
If she wants space, you need to move out.
Yes.
And I would recommend that you don't move in with your parents. You're a grown man here. You don't need to move in with your parents. If you need to get an apartment, you need to room with a friend if it's too expensive. But I don't recommend moving in with the parents. It sort of puts you in a juvenile position. That's not a good position if you're trying to reconcile with somebody.
That's really great advice.
I also think the separation should be 90 days. I recommend 90 days, and don't move back in, even if you think you want to. You know, even a couple thinks they want to get back together. It's better for them to stay separated 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because the point of a separation when it works is to give you an idea about what a divorce really means.
Mm-hmm.
And if you basically work together 90 days, separate, and they spend more time together than when they were living together.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. 3 months is a good amount of time to really feel what it's like, what you're going to be missing, or, you know, work out some feelings.
Yeah, I think when you move back in sooner than that, you know, you separate for a weekend, what generally happens, and you just gotten anxious. That's all that's happened.
Right. Now, you guys give recommendations for talking to the kids about divorce. What are some of the, I mean, this is such a difficult subject. I see this all the time, and it's, you know, it would be very difficult, you know, to try to, especially, you know, guys kind of don't know how to deal with it, you know. What are some of your recommendations for talking to the children?
Well, first of all, it's important that both parents participate, if at all possible. That's a lot better than just one parent explaining the situation to the kids.
Yes.
This is going to be a tough situation. It may be emotion-wrenching, but, you know, don't get overly emotional and just, you know, like fall on the floor. But if there are some tears shed, well, that's not going to be the end of the world, and the kids will certainly understand that you're going through something.
Right.
Try not to blame the other parent or just give your side of the story. Keep the explanation simple and to the point for the kids. Try to give them something at their age level, what they can handle. And don't tell them, you know, that things are going to be fine and, you know, whether they show emotion or a lot of emotion, they may need some reassurance that things will work out over time.
Right.
And don't think of this as just the one be-all, end-all conversation, because they may not have any comments or questions. So don't try to talk it over again, hoping that they'll come through. There'll be time in the future to handle any questions or concerns that come up.
Sure, exactly, Glenn. Well, does divorce always hurt the children? Does that always put a little mark in their brains forever?
Well, I think we would all agree that the ideal situation is for kids to be raised in a family where two parents love each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having a divorce, clearly that's not what the children are getting. So what happens is the effect of divorce on the kids has to be measured against how toxic was the marriage.
Yes.
The more sort of angry, unhappy the couple is and the children are aware of it, the more that affects the children. So the worst scenario is not a couple that divorces, but a couple that divorces and keeps fighting after the divorce. That's the worst thing you can do.
Oh, yeah.
So now the real thing is it better to stay married when you're not all that happy? Mm. You know, which one's going to affect the kids more, staying in a not a very happy marriage or divorcing when it's not a very happy marriage? Well, that's a little bit more of a, it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah.
But if the marriage is toxic, if there's a lot of anger, particularly if there's violence, it's better for the couple to divorce. That's less damaging to the children.
Right, Sam.
Right.
That's what a lot of the research shows. You know, it is really, it is a lot more damaging if there's daily drama and screaming and rageaholics and, you know, that kind of tension going on. It's detrimental to the children growing up in that environment. Maybe divorce, you know, makes it a little bit more comfortable once they get away from each other, you know.
Yeah. A lot of times I think parents feel that divorce is going to be a terrible thing for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually is not borne out, but most research would show that kids do okay if the parents remain active and loving parents in their lives. If they do that, then the children generally weather the storm of divorce okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in on LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle, and I'm interviewing the authors of this really terrific book I read this past week. It's The Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. I think it's the first kind of guidebook for men that I've ever seen of its kind, and it kind of walks you guys through the steps and also is helpful for women to understand many times how guys are reacting and what they're fearing and what they're thinking. So what I liked about it too, Sam and Glenn, is that it did open my eyes to you know, some of the questions and some of the steps that, I mean, they're kind of like, wow, I didn't know that guys didn't know these things. I was surprised, you know, that these were really basic questions that guys were asking. I just assumed that they would sort of know some of these things, but you know, you walk them through.
Sam and I were talking, and in therapy, you'll get fellas, you know, asking these questions,
right.
And it's like we came to the point, well, couldn't we just put this in a book form where a fella could turn to the appropriate page and
right.
get the material that he wants?
Right.
And that's kind of what led this conversational design of the book.
Yes.
The other thing, of course, is that it's an easy kind of thing.
Sure.
If a fella has a direct question, he can go, let's say, start out with chapter 4 and then go to chapter 2 as the need is, whereas a woman is probably more likely to start at the beginning and go cover to cover.
Right.
Maybe a fella will read it cover to cover after getting the quick data, but that's why we have it in that way. The other thing is it's probably a little bit friendlier, and this is a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with tension and
right.
Ongoing mystery, and it's like, you know, here you're talking with a couple of guys who know about this stuff, and
right.
then you can be put at ease.
Right, exactly. And by the way, my guests on the air live, I mentioned their book, The Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce, is doctors Sam Buser and Glenn Stearns. And they've compiled a lot of their data from their work as psychologists and professors as well, and being involved in men's issues and therapeutic help as well. So, and you also cover, you know, getting an attorney. You know, I think I was surprised. I guess a lot of gentlemen don't really know if they need to get an attorney or how they can trust an attorney. So you kind of cover that, which I really liked in the book. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I heard someone.
Oh, okay. Let me talk. The legal angle is covered more by attorneys who've written
right.
books. And, of course, what happens is that they're focused on how to get the best deal on the marriage and get the most money for the fella. And
right.
then, of course, the day that the judge in the black robe bangs the gavel down, well, then that's kind of where they end the book. A few are maybe a little
right.
bit different than that. But
right.
we did want to present this issue in a chapter. Of course, every state has a little bit different rules, but pretty much they're the same. We've kind of gotten away from big differences in power in the divorce decree, and we get this managing conservator, and guys need to know about this.
Mm-hmm.
The other big changes have been in the litigious side of things, where
right.
you have one party pitched against another, and this kind of continues or even exacerbates the anger that is found during the marriage.
Yes.
So that then you've got two parents trying to deal. I mean, they're ex-spouses, but they're not ex-parents. They have
mm-hmm.
to deal with the kids, and they're angry, and
right.
that puts impediments in. And so we talk about other things. They're called alternative dispute methods.
Uh-huh.
And that leads to much better factors here in Harris County, which is Houston.
Yes.
It has also speeded up the divorce process. Unfortunately, I think there used to be something like 58 months before decisions would be made from the time that papers were filed.
Right.
And this alternative dispute methods gets it out of that limbo much faster.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think you know, a lot of the states are offering that kind of situation as well. So, Glenn and Sam, what are some of the common problems that you see after a divorce? I love this chapter because it really lays out a lot of the problems that guys experience. And how do you help men cope with some of these problems?
I would say the most common problem that men run into is that they're essentially lonely.
Yes.
As I said, most of their social relationships are connected through their wives for most guys.
Mm-hmm.
When they lose that, they tend to be pretty sad and lonely. And so what guys do with sadness and loneliness is, as Glenn was alluding to earlier, they work more, they maybe drink more, they basically don't do things that are involved with taking better care of themselves. So that loneliness then leads them to quite quickly move into a new relationship.
Right.
The research suggests that about, it's astounding, but like about 50% of men marry within 1 year of divorce.
Yes.
Now, that just doesn't make any sense when you think about it. What's the likelihood when you leave a marriage that within 1 year you found the love of your life just around the corner? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
So what that really reflects, I think, is the loneliness and sadness because men are accustomed to finding comfort in terms of emotional needs with a woman. So they fall into another relationship without perhaps really fully examining, is this a good idea for me?
That's interesting, you know, Sam. A lot of people who I've seen in the past, kids, you know, not kids, but I mean usually teens or young adults of parents who have divorced say, how could my dad remarry this woman within a year? Or how could my dad be with this woman in a year or 2 years? It just, I don't understand. So that's the thing. It's a matter of just kind of needing to have their, you know, their comfort zones. It's kind of getting back into, you know, having around them what they used to have in the marriage and just kind of settling possibly for a woman.
We talk about rebound. Other people can see it, but when you're involved in it, this loneliness can get very intense.
Right.
And there's also a tendency to mix up the aloneness with loneliness. And it's important to differentiate here. Aloneness is when you look around the room and count the number of people in it and end up with one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a negative or a positive state. It's neutral. It can be anything you want. It can be very good to be alone.
Yes.
But I think a lot of our fellas have never experienced that. They may go right from their parents' home, maybe off to college or to the military, but then they're around a whole bunch of guys, and then they get married. Some guys marry young, and they go directly into their home with the wife. They never experience really what it's like to be on their own and to have the decisions and the rights and privileges that go with aloneness.
Right. No, that's really profound. And they need to feel those feelings and they need someone like you guys, you know, they really do, to help them feel through those feelings and take their time and know, you know, that they are going to be lonely and that they are going to feel these feelings and not just to react right away to find someone else.
Well, in this chapter, we're trying to build in other things that they can do. If we're saying, no, it's not good to get into a fast relationship, well, what's the alternative?
Right.
So that they can be alone, but when they want to be together, there can be a balance there. We start building in places that they can go to and groups that they can meet with and possibly even talking with a men's group.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. No, it's really good. And a lot of men don't think that they can get support from those types of groups. But, I mean, it's really nice to be able to understand how other guys are feeling and that they're not alone, that they're all in the same boat, and how maybe they can work through these feelings and do more creative things instead of jumping right back into another relationship.
Yeah, well, you know, the guys have jokes about this, maybe little nervous jokes we have a cartoon in the book that sums this up, that there's a whole bunch of guys going around and say, yeah, we all agree that women are terrible and awful, now let's hit the keg.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I know. I like some of your little comedy things in there, too. It's really cool. But so how can men let go and learn to move on? What are some of the ideas that you give them?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to see that if you're still stuck in anger at your ex,
mm-hmm.
you're still connected to her. You're not really emotionally divorced.
Right.
So you have to be able to let that go and actually want her to do well. If you have children, what you really want is for her to meet some other nice guy who's going to assist her in parenting the kids. You want to be a father, but she's probably going to do better if there's a stepfather in the picture that is a good stepfather. That would be the ideal situation. So instead of wanting her to have bad luck,
right,
or just terrible things happen to her, you should wish her to do well, because that's the best for your children.
That's right. Think of the kids first. That's really important. And by the way, if you all just called or listened, this is LA Talk Radio, and I'm talking to authors Dr. Sam Buser and also Dr. Glenn Stearns. They've written the latest book, The Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. The first kind of book for gentlemen who that I've seen that really explains things quite well, and is done so by experts. Both of them are psychologists and, you know, have worked with men and been professors as well, and are involved in groups to help men, you know, cope with some of these difficult issues. So, so what we touched on parenting, what are some of the most difficult issues that men have after a divorce as a parent? You know, I love the idea that you said, no, you want to wish the wife well in finding a nice guy who will be good to your kids as well. But what are some of the other, you know, issues that you think men have to deal with after the divorce with the children?
Well, I think that now that's a change in times, mm-hmm. that often the roles have gotten pretty straightened out, that the wife takes care of the home,
right,
and the husband takes care of work. And now the divorce decree will spell out things such as mm-hmm. seeing the kids on alternate weekends or maybe on a Wednesday night for dinner.
Oh.
Then there are issues where there's homework.
Right.
And then there's the summer time, do you take a trip? Do they stay at home? What is your economic circumstances? It means more likely that men who are post-divorce are going to have to take a more active role in rearing their children, in
right.
doing the day-to-day kind of things, the washing of clothes,
right.
the organizing of articles, the getting done of the homework, the ferrying them, the chauffeuring to the various baseball games or plays or things that they want to do,
yeah.
and that is going to continue. And some men have that as an easy thing, but probably a majority find it a little bit hard at first to get
sure.
geared up.
Well, sure, because a lot of times, you know, the wife has been taking care of a lot of those things. I mean, it's sort of the traditional role many times. Of course, men are doing those things as well and helping in the marriage, but it just seems like now when they're alone, they have to really take care of everything, you know, with the
have
kids.
Have to step up the game.
Yeah,
that's
they
right.
do have to step up the game, exactly. And you know what I hear, too, a lot of times, Glenn and Sam, is fathers who you know, are separated or divorced say, my wife doesn't say very nice things about me. I'm a pretty good guy. I wasn't maybe very communicative or not there for her at times, and I didn't go out really and fool around, or even if he did. But the wife says bad things about me. How can a guy cope with some of the negativity that the children hear or may say to them that they've heard from their mom?
Well, one of the things I think that comes under a general heading is anger from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that's one of the really hard things for dads to deal with. If the kids are angry at them, like, you know, mom says you're a bad guy, or
right.
mom says you had an affair with your secretary, or whatever it is, and some of it, you know, might be true. Maybe
yeah.
some of that's true. And of course, the more true it is, the harder it is for a person to deal with that.
Right.
So I think, in general, a man has to understand that some of the anger that they're hearing
mm-hmm.
from a kid is really anger about mom and dad divorce, not
right.
really directed at him, although it feels that way.
Right, right.
More of an anger at that situation.
Right.
If the kid is pointing out something that you know you did, like, you know, you left mom for another woman, it's pretty hard for you to say, well, that's okay, or no, that didn't
right.
happen.
Right.
I think that you have to basically accept that, you know, sometimes, you know, adults make decisions that,
mm-hmm.
you know, may not work out well for you, and it's hard to. So maybe someday you'll be able to understand that a little bit better, but
sure.
I understand that your anger, basically accepting the anger and upset.
Right.
When the kids say things like, mommy said you're a bad guy, sort of a comment,
yeah.
you have to take that with a grain of salt, because mm-hmm. a lot of times kids will say that, frankly, as a way of provoking you.
Right.
They want to see how you're going to react to that. Mom may or may not have said that.
Interesting.
And maybe the kid sort of inferred that or figured out that mom's not too happy with you. Right. No surprise. He just went through a divorce. Of course she's not very happy with
it. Right, of course.
So basically, don't take it so personally. Grow up, be a man about it, understand not everybody's going to like you, and sometimes the kids are going to be mad at you, and that would happen even if you stayed married.
Right, Sam. Exactly.
Tagging on to Sam's comment, I think here we assume that the man is behind in this divorce process. A lot of times the woman has decided to leave, separate, divorce,
yeah,
all of these things, and the man is kind of catching up,
right,
with his feelings. On the other hand, it very well could be in this case that the woman is having trouble with her anger just because the man has followed our directions and, you know, maintained a perfect record of anger, doing everything we say.
Right. Right.
Doesn't mean that the wife is lockstep with him.
Right.
And
that's
our feelings,
sure,
come and go. I have to tell people that they're not chiseled in stone, but it's more like an artist, a potter, that's on that pottery wheel, and he's pushing with clay, and
mm-hmm,
feelings are momentary.
Sure.
They come and go. You may have moments of anger, and she may have angry moments, too.
Right, exactly. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, everybody, we all have our own feelings and issues, and if she initiated the divorce, of course there's anger and stuff going on with her as well. But, you know, this, I like the book because it does help gentlemen kind of work through how they can cope with it and how they can sort of behave to keep things, you know, a little more peaceful. By the way, if you just tuned in on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to talk radio station on the internet, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, and I'm interviewing the authors, Drs. Sam Buser and Glenn Stearns. The book's called The Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. And moving on to relationships and sex, what are some of the things that, you know, guys should start thinking about and watch out for when they start getting back, eking back out into the dating scene again? And how do guys really kind of know that they're ready and not just kind of jumping out there like we discussed a little earlier?
Well, I think building on the anger situation is that if you can consider the possibility of going out with a woman without masses of anger welling up in you, you know, going back to the mm-hmm. past and my right. wife did this, or she's behaving like my wife used to behave.
Wow.
So that you've already reconnected with people and other men in some concrete ways, but this preoccupation is not there all the time.
Right.
And you can tolerate living on your own and just being by yourself. Then I think those are some of the four main points that you can deal with and consider yourself ready to date and have relationships.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. What are some of the things that men should watch out for, kind of, when they're, I mean, you know, that's within themselves, what you just discussed, is they're, you know, projecting their old stuff onto some of the new people they're dating, or they still have this, you know, they're still holding on to, you know, this, the old relationship and stuff. But what are some of the, you know, kind of little red flags that men should look for when they start going out there?
Well, I think if you date someone that's significantly younger than you, what is significant? Well, it kind of depends on, you know, what age you are. If you're
yeah.
30 and you're dating someone 25, that's not very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you're 50 and you're dating someone 30, that may be quite a difference. And that usually means the relationship's going to run into problems later. Maybe not the front end, but later. So look at that age difference. Is that person that you're looking at dating, you know, is she similar to you in things that are important to you? If education, let's say, culture, whatever is very important to you, you're a cultured person, you like to go to the museum, the opera, and so forth, well, you're probably not going to be entirely happy with someone who wants to listen to country music. That's
mm-hmm.
probably not going to be a fit. So you got to look at those values. Religion. You know,
right.
Religion may not be important to you, but it may be very important to you. So, you know, if that person is of a different religious background, or
right.
say, agnostic, and that's really important to you,
mm-hmm.
well, you're just setting yourself up for later disappointment.
Right. So those, you know, those are the deal breakers, really, in the long run. Those are, you know, those are the important issues that you have to look out for when putting yourself out there to start dating again. And, I mean, is there, you know, in the psychological community, I'm just putting this out there, Glenn and Sam, is there any particular, like, age difference you think is unhealthy between a guy and a woman? I'm talking about, you know, when guys go out and they want to be with a younger woman.
Yeah. I think when it starts getting probably, this is just a general figure, but I'd say when it gets like 10 years, you're probably in trouble at that point.
Right. Well, there's a, you know, there are a lot of differences in the generation. There are a lot of differences in tastes and conversations and interests and things like that. So it does, I mean, you know, that's a heads up. But I do see, especially, I don't know, it's a worldwide thing, but especially in Los Angeles here, in the entertainment capital of the world, I see a lot of older men with a lot younger women. You know,
what happens generally there, I think, is at the beginning of a relationship that may work fine,
mm-hmm.
but it has to do with the developmental stages.
Yes.
If I'm at a very different developmental stage than the woman that I'm dating, at the beginning it may be okay, but later as she sort of goes through the next developmental stage, she may be impatient or unhappy
right.
with the fact that I'm at this older developmental stage. Perhaps I'm, say, in retirement.
Right.
Well, retirement's pretty much retirement. It doesn't change all that much. But
right.
if you're dating a 35-year-old woman, she's probably thinking about, you know, her career, her life at that point. And by 40, she's probably thinking, you know, have I had children? Do I
right.
want you? That's a very different position than he was, say, 5 years ago.
Right. Right, exactly. Women start also who have not had children or who have been divorced, they start thinking about their body clocks, especially around their 30s or mid-30s, and they start thinking, oh my goodness, how old is this going to be when the child graduates from high school, you know?
Right.
Oftentimes, as people approach retirement, you get a reversal of the roles where the woman comes out from being the passive little housewife.
Yes.
Maybe she never was that way, but anyway, that's the time where she's going to put her energies into career and that.
Right.
And meanwhile, the husband is winding down, and he's around foot all day, you know, and she hollers at him to lift up his feet while she vacuums under, and he's just watching the TV and has a beer and some chips. And I'm stereotyping, but
no.
That's kind of evidence of the role reversal that commonly goes on.
Yeah.
Now, being aware of this can help us, but you're going to have to put extra attention and energy into that.
Yeah, that I agree. It's really interesting. I mean, there really is a big difference. Guys have to think about that as well. And also, you also talk about helping guys get back into the groove, you know, sexually. So coming around the end of your book, and you say something that I think is kind of interesting. You say that just because guys were sexual with their wives, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're prepared for sex after the divorce. I mean, we women think, oh, guys are always, they're always prepared for sex. You know, what are you talking about, Glenn and Sam? Guys are always ready.
Well, that was it. The stereotype, and women hold it too, is that the man is just like a gorilla in a cage, and you just shake the cage, and they should be ready to perform.
Right.
That doesn't happen. There are physical differences. Now, that brings in the work of Masters and Johnson. The mm-hmm. nice thing that they did with their books in the 60s was to show physiologically, even though outwardly we look different,
yes.
that really inwardly, as far as the nervous system and the brain, we're more alike than different. And that was,
right.
I think, an important thing that they did do. They also checked the cycle of response.
Yes.
And there are a lot of similarities there, but of course women have more variability, and that's one of the things we've been noting time and time again.
Right.
On the other hand, the statement that they make is that men and women should be capable of enjoying sex until old age, in the absence of debilitating illness.
Right.
Now, you know, some people will generalize and they'll say, oh, I'm getting to the age my grandparents were, the hair is getting a little salt and pepper now, or maybe
right.
even white, and I've got to be sweet and kind and not think of sex because grandma and grandpa didn't, you know. Well, sometime they did, but
right.
we assume that they have given up on things,
right.
and our parents have, and so then we start saying, well, we're not interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Masters and Johnson typically found that over the age span that the responsiveness was there, but maybe it was a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Just like in the physical realm, we don't think of doing a 100-yard dash in world record time,
right.
but an older person can still get across 100 yards. Certainly not in 10 seconds, maybe not in 20 or 40 seconds, but they can go the length. So the same thing sexually.
That's right. That makes a lot of sense.
But we did talk about some of the different problems.
Sure.
There are sexual diseases, but then there are also different conditions, such as premature ejaculation, which is found in younger fellas.
Well, yeah.
And then there's the ED, the erectile dysfunction, which is found more often in the more mature gentlemen.
Right.
And so we talk about these areas. And I think, again, it's in this easy kind of way.
Right.
I don't know what fellas have had. Some fellas have had wonderful sex education courses at the college level or maybe even at high school level. When I was going to high school, that was strictly for kids that were not going to even finish high school and going to be making babies. And it also dealt with changing diapers and handling the budget. But now we're getting more into strictly marriage and family and sexual education.
Right, exactly.
Other people get it on the street corner, so how do we know? We just present it in an easy way so that they can pick up wherever maybe say, I know that.
That's right. Exactly. They get it. It is a good read, Glenn. And you know what? We're running out of time. So I just want to remind folks again that my guests today have been authors, Doctors Sam Buser and Glenn Stearns. Sam and Glenn, thank you so much for being on the air with me live today. It's been really educational. It's been a good good hour.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
You're so welcome.
Thank
and you're welcome. It's the Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and On with Life, Sex, and Relationships. And, of course, everyone, you can pick the book up at Amazon.com. Any other information you'd like to give them as to how they may get in touch with you, Sam or Glenn?
There are two things I'd mention. We have a website, the Guys Only Guide.
Right.
.com. If you go to that, you can find some more information specific to the book.
Great.
And also, there will be an audio version that we have put. We're putting the finishing touches on. We will have that both in CD. We hope downloadable chapter as well.
Super. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today. Great book. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye now. All right.
Bye-bye.
That was great. So, folks, if you want to check it out, The Guy's Only Guide to Getting Over Divorce and Getting On with Your Life, that's the way to do it. We're just about out of time. This is Dr. Michelle with you. I thank you for being on the couch with me today. You can stay on if you like. We've got more great shows coming up, along with the news next. And as I always say to you, take good care of yourself first, so then you can be great for other people, too. Have a good one. Be back next week. Bye-bye.